Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:33 p.m. that is Pacific Standard Time. Today is January 31st. Well, today is après le déluge when we think about the stock market. That we had a pullback yesterday, but it wasn't nearly as dynamic as we've seen at previous peaks. And that is certainly something that has, I think, dulled the influence that it's had on markets, but there was a knock-on effect, and the fact that Facebook came out with earnings that were, in fact, above expectations, but the fact that they are adding headcount and that their active users were not quite as high as were expected has knocked the share back about 4% in after-hours trading. Well, when we look at, for example, the FTSE 100, it has pulled back pretty sharply over the last 2 days relative to the pace of the advance that we've put in over much of the last year. It's rapidly unwinding its overbought condition relative to the trend mean, and it's right in the region now of the upper side of its underlying range. And part of the reason that the FTSE is pulling back so quickly is not particularly because of the stock market, but rather because of the currency. The pound is up close to 142. It has found support in the region of 140 over the last couple of sessions, and there's still quite an overbought condition relative to the trend mean, and it is overextended by any measure, but the 140 is a rather large psychological level, considering that that is the level through which the rate fell during the or immediately after the Brexit vote. So the pound has now unwound all of its decline following the Brexit vote. Of course, it had been trending lower for 2 years previous to that, but and so therefore it is now really only coming back to the lower side of this overhead trading range that persisted from the lows that we saw in 2009. There is still a lot to play for in terms of exactly what shape the negotiations are going to take with regard to the UK and Europe. There are some very strong personalities that are making their voices heard on a daily basis in the media, but there are two important points, and it is the interplay of these two points that are likely to shape the outcome of the negotiations. One is that the EU has got an enormous hole in its budget now that the UK has left, so that hole is going to have to be filled. And if the UK can be encouraged to fill that hole by continuing to contribute to the EU budget, well, that would allay a lot of headaches right across the European region, because there is nobody has much appetite for contributing more money to the EU anywhere in the within the Eurozone in particular. So that's one point. The additional point is that the UK needs to have access for its financial sector. The City of London represents a massive source of revenue for the government, and it has to be protected. The kinds of protections that the UK has to create for the financial sector are similar to what the Germans do for the car sector. It is a vital part of the economy, and everybody knows that, and the Europeans know it, the UK knows it. So again, that is something that is going to be something that the UK has to bargain for, and it is probably going to cost some money. Quite how that is going to be reconciled with some of the fringe elements either on either side of the argument remains to be seen, and I think that is where you have the uncertainty. And because we have this uncertainty, then there is the potential that we are going to get more volatility in the currency. But if the pound can hold the majority of the advance, and not least if it continues to find support in the region of the trend mean and holds that progression of higher reaction lows, then we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. But of course, it isn't simply that the pound has been firm, but also rather that the dollar has been weak. And when we look at the dollar versus the yen, then it is right now at the lower side of a developing almost year-long range. And the 108 level has been at the lower side of this range. Every time it's got down to 108, it's bounced. We're at 109 and change right now, based on the small rally that we saw in the dollar today. But it needs to do more than that. It needs to bounce in a dynamic manner, similar to the kinds of bounces that we saw in April, in June, and in September. If we get that kind of rally, then this range will persist, and it can be considered support building from the perspective of the Japanese or the dollar versus the yen. Now, when we look at the Nikkei, it has pulled back over the last couple of days, and now it is back in the region of this 23,000 level. And this is about where, if it's going to bounce, then it would be a handy level for it to bounce from, considering that it's the upper side of the underlying range. But when we look at it on a weekly basis, it still has quite a large overextension relative to the trend mean. And there is the potential that we could have a somewhat larger pullback and a lengthier period of consolidation. And I think that is going to be largely dependent on what happens in on Wall Street. So, for example, the Dow Jones pulled back quite sharply yesterday, and in fact, it finished up on the day in here today, but only just. In fact, it rallied in the last half hour of trading to reverse a decline and to finish in mildly positive territory. This is the last day of the month, so there is some book squaring going on, but I think the broader perspective is that we had the State of the Union address, which passed off pretty much without a hitch. There wasn't anything to really upset markets. But when the market has rallied so very impressively, it's not so much concerned with things that are going to upset it, but rather what is going to encourage people to continue to invest ever increasing sums to push this market onto new high ground. And the share that has contributed most to the advance on the Dow Jones is Boeing. And it moved to a new recover, well, a new all-time high in here today, but wasn't quite able to hold all of the advance, but it did hold the breakout. Now, Boeing has been doing spectacularly well, rallying from 200 and change to 354 in just the last 6 months. So this is a really quite advanced accelerated trend, and it's over $100, well, just about $100 overextended relative to the trend mean. It's not at all beyond the bounds of possibility that we do get some pause and consolidation, but the reality is that this is still a reasonably consistent advance, and we had nothing more than a short-term shallow pause, and a clear downward dynamic will be required to cap this short-term advance. Then, when we look at some of the other leading shares, and Amazon is certainly fitting into that category, and it was again in positive territory in here today. And of course, part of the reason for that is because of its alliance with JP Morgan and Berkshire Hathaway to try and disrupt the healthcare system in the USA, which is inordinately expensive and ripe for disruption, considering that it represents a significant headwind to the government in particular. That when you think about all of the unfunded liabilities, a significant proportion of them are related to the healthcare sector. Anything that can be done to reduce the cost of healthcare is likely to be enormously positive from the perspective of the consumer and also from the perspective of government finances. So this private sector pioneering of trying to fix this issue is certainly to be welcomed. Amazon is accelerating higher, and when we look at this on a logarithmic scale chart, then even there we see that it has done phenomenally well of late. It's closing in on the $1,500 area, and it has paused at big psychological levels before. So it's not beyond the bounds of possibility that we do get another pause around the $1,500 area, and considering it spent a good few months pausing around the $1,000 area, then it could pause around $1,500 as well. When we look at, for example, the Nasdaq 100, then it has also paused, but it was off its lows in here today. It is pausing around this 7,000 level and has been doing so for the last week. But so far, this is still a very mild consolidation. And when we look at the VIX index, it did not hold yesterday's advance and is pulling back in here today. Every time it has pushed up to new recovery highs, it has pulled back in subsequent days, and in fact, it has moved to new lows every time it has moved up to some a new high. So if the abiding imbalance between supply and demand, which has been characterized by the success of the short volatility strategy, and we have the short vol ETFs to demonstrate that it is coming, it is pretty much a similar size reaction to what we saw in August now for those, that the ETF buying and the fact that we are seeing retail investors getting increasingly engaged with this market has also been one of the things that has driven this market higher. And one would have to question whether the move that we've seen in government bond yields is really going to change that. It is certainly beginning to enter the calculations of some of the institutional investors, but 2.7% is well above the yield that we get on US Treasuries. In fact, 2-year yields are now above the yield, excuse me, that we get on the S&P 500, not on US Treasuries. And when you have bonds that are yielding more than equities, well, generally speaking, then that is a situation where bonds would become more attractive. If we think about the normal run of things, that equities are generally considered more risky than bonds, therefore they should yield more. Well, when you have interest rates that are at incredibly low levels, then you get a different sort of environment. The fact that US government bond yields are now pushing upwards, well, eventually that is going to have an effect on equity markets because they will then have to either make up the difference in terms of nominal price appreciation, and they've certainly been doing that, or if we get a more rangy environment, well, then that will begin to focus people's attention on the yield, and the yield is still comparatively low. In fact, when we look at, for example, the yield on the S&P 500, then what we can see now is that it has been contracting since 2015, which one would expect considering how much the price has appreciated since then. The big question is how much of the tax cuts are going to get passed on in terms of dividends to investors. That has been the I think the animating fact behind this drive that we've had higher in equity markets. But we are at a point now where we've had a very, very successful run, and the market has been accelerating. So far, the reaction has been pretty small. It has been the one inconsistency that we've seen on the Dow Jones is that this reaction has been somewhat larger than we've seen since May of last year. When we look at the reactions that we've seen on the S&P 500, it has been somewhat larger now than we've seen at least since the beginning of December, where we did have an intraday pullback. But then we'd have to look all the way back to August for a similar sized reaction. And following those reactions, the market was able to break on the upside. So now the question is, how much of this advance is it going to be able to hold? Well, oil prices are still in a range and we're in mildly positive territory in here today. Oil prices have not pulled back by more than $5 since June. And as long as that remains the case, then we can potentially give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. And if oil prices are still in a reasonably consistent advance and in fact manage to break up and away from this most recent range, well, that will act as a tailwind to the energy sector. And the energy sector is another one of the well, which has the potential at least to be a large cap sector within the major indices. So that is, I think, an important consideration to bear in mind, that we could have a rotation going on in some of the markets. Then if we look at some of the international markets, well, the European region are they're beginning to think about what all the strength of the euro is going to mean for their stock markets and for their economies. And the ECB is talking about tapering, but inflation is undershooting in Europe. So, and of course, Europe's an awfully large place, and whether it is quite overshooting in terms of factory prices in Germany is probably another consideration. But the Euro Stoxx index has been ranging below 400 for much of the last 3 months. It briefly broke above it last week. It is closing below it just mildly in here today, but this continues to look like a successful uptrend. And I think that the balance of probabilities is that it will be breaking higher in a successful manner over the course of the next few months. The Shanghai A-share index was down again in here today. It posted a downside key reversal on Monday and then followed through on the downside yesterday. And despite the fact it was off its lows in here today, it did finish down. Well, it also had a short-term overbought condition, so then the potential here is that we're going to enter into another range. And just how deep that range is likely to be is going to, I think, be influenced by what happens on Wall Street. Now, the HSI was up about 300 points following the bounce that we had overnight on in the early trading. But considering just how quickly the Hang Seng has gone up, I continue to think that the most likely scenario is that we are in for some consolidation and that there is the potential that it is going to unwind its short-term overbought condition. Then the gold price, which has been largely range-bound around $1,300, was in mildly positive territory in here today. But I think the much more important fact is that it has been ranging for 18 months. It raced to get to the upper side of this range. It's due a little pause in consolidation, and so far that consolidation has been really quite shallow. And that's rather encouraging from the perspective of gold bulls. If it can continue to hold this very shallow range, then that greatly increases the potential that it will successfully break on the upside. And then if it breaks on the upside, well, we know that gold has a history of rallying impressively out of these lengthy volatile consolidations, and I think that would have to be the base case scenario if gold can indeed break upwards. And platinum is closing out today above the $1,000 level, and so far, again, this has been a relatively shallow reaction. That's despite the fact that we had a key reversal last week, but it was not sustained, and it was countermanded in the next couple of days. $1,000 is a big psychological level for platinum, but it did race to get from a failed downside break at the upper side all the way up to the upper side of this range. So, when you think about it in those terms, we are due some consolidation. We are getting it, but if it can hold on to this, then the outlook is really quite positive. And it's a very similar story for silver. It's been largely range bound now for a significant period of time, but so far is holding the move above the trend mean. So, when we look at these ranges that are pregnant with potential, then the gold shares have got a pretty striking similarity to the gold price. So, gold shares are now in a position where they can offer leverage to the gold price because they are not spending nearly as much money on exploration and development any longer, and it's all going to the bottom line. They're much more focused on free cash flow now than they were at any time during the commodity bull market. And copper prices were relatively unchanged in here today, but they continue to hold this upward bias. What I find particularly interesting is that people are still very concerned with what exactly is going to happen with the broader stock market. But what we can anticipate, I think the two most important sectors to look at are going to be technology because it led, and it continues to be very firm. If the technology sector were rolling over, then that would be something that would, I think, be a very important consideration. Then we have the continued strength of the resources sector or cyclical sectors generally. So, as long as that remains the case, well, these are catch-up potential sectors within the latter stages or the third psychological perception stage of a medium-term cyclical bull market, and they continue to perform. They have not pulled back in a dynamic manner. And we would anticipate that they would continue to do well after the broader market has lost consistency. We're still only at, I think, the worst that we can say is that yesterday's pullback on the Dow was a shot across the bow for what was a short, what is a short-term overbought condition. And it raises the potential that we could be in for a pullback, and not least because we do have that rather large overextension. But it's unlikely to be a big top because the kinds of lead indicators that would suggest that that is the case are just not present. And it is occurring within the context of a secular bull market. We do have a short-term overbought condition, and we're in the latter stages of a medium-term bull market, which means that at some point in the next couple of years, there's going to be a recession, and that will lead to a medium-term correction. But that will also represent a buying opportunity from the perspective of a long-term investor because we are in a secular bull market. It is being driven by technology. It's been driven both by the availability of that technology to billions of new consumers and also the pace of technological innovation. And we're also in a period where we're getting innovation in the energy sector, and that removes a headwind from global growth. When we think about what the risks are, yes, there are certainly risks in the short term, and not least because we have had some accelerations on the upside. And it is not at all beyond the bounds of possibility that very impressive accelerations can give way to sharp pullbacks. And that is not an inconsiderable risk when we look at what the potential is for an unwind of the short-term overbought condition. And considering that the index, like for example Wall Street, was about 14% overextended relative to the trend mean on Friday, well, that's what we know what a pullback potential is within the context of this medium-term advance. But we are still at a point where there are tax cuts that are on the way. We know that that is going to have an influence on spending. It's going to have an influence on dividends and buybacks. So these are important considerations. I think the primary risk is in the bond markets. And when we look at what is happening in the 10-year that we have had this move higher, and the fact that the Fed did not raise interest rates today, but that was Janet Yellen's last meeting, and that we now have a new central bank governor. Well, I think it is at least something that we should consider, that the market will test Powell's resolve and see whether we are going to have a Powell put after we had a Yellen put, a Bernanke put, and a Greenspan put. That is, I think, one of the things that we need to be alert to the possibility of. So it is time to be increasingly more vigilant about the consistency of trends. And we have had I think, just the first shot across the bow in terms of the loss of consistency for some of the for Wall Street, which is the leading market. And I think over the course of the next few weeks, we will get either confirmation that this is just a somewhat larger reaction in the context of still a very powerful advance, or whether we are going to move into a somewhat lengthier period of consolidation. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.